With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sportive Podcast, episode 187, Yotus B. I'm joined tonight by John. Hi, John.
Hey, B. I'm calling you B from now on.
Stu, hi. That's totally fine. Stu, how are
you? I'm doing great. How are you, B?
Oh, you know, living large, as usual. And Clarence is here as well. Hi, Clarence.
What's up, fuckers?
Nice. So I think for the most part, we have sort of unofficially referred to this as group therapy, because most of the time Minnesota sports are shitty in general. I tend to try to put a positive spin on things if I can, pull everybody into the gray area, as only Pucci can do, but I'm tired of doing that. I looked through the agenda of things to discuss, and every single thing on this agenda is how badly things suck right now. So this is the Things That Suck episode of The Sportive. Are you guys willing to play along with that conceit? It's true.
Well, I mean, to be fair, every episode of this stupid podcast is the Things That Suck podcast, because every one of the sports teams in this two-bit good-for-nothing town sucks.
Yes, very true. I feel like I've tried to not make it that, but I'm also tapping out on this one. So forget it. Everything sucks. Things that suck, number one, the Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings. They sucked last week against the Lions. We've got swept by the Lions. Hard to find something that sucks more than that.
Yeah.
They're going to get their asses kicked by the Cowboys. And I think our coach is dying. What's going on?
He's
did you just see the news?
He is having emergency eye surgery and is questionable for tomorrow's game. If he probably doesn't want to watch what that Dallas offensive line is going to do to his defense, so I can't necessarily blame him for getting the procedure done tonight. I'm very negative right now.
Let's just get it out of the way now.
The timing is good. Is there any commentary just yet of what exactly eye surgery means? That's a very daunting body part to just have an emergency.
He had
with. Has one of them fallen out?
He had a detached retina earlier this year, and I'm assuming it didn't get better, and that's the reason he's having it.
This is when he had to do the press conference in the shades, right?
Yeah, he does. Well, he's got a guy on staff, a Tony Sperano, who I think has some sort of eye issue where he's always wearing sunglasses anyway. So he's got a mentor there. And I think he's also related to Roy Orbison, but I don't know that for sure.
Who is treating Mike Zimmer for this detached retina? The Twins medical staff? we're just gonna rest it up on that. I think it'll get better. It'll get better. That's what happens with detached retinas. We're just gonna let you sit it out, and emergency surgery. Who saw that coming?
Obamacare.
Takes a lot. Tax credits doubled, but the premiums tripled. Am I right? That's a thing. I don't know. That's a thing.
We'll get to politics in a bit.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
I have no other comments about that fucking Vikings-Lions game. It was boring and sad. At least, if they're going to suck, be exciting. It wasn't even close to that.
And they did it on a holiday. That also is just like, god damn it.
Yeah, I got the joy of watching that with my wife's family, the two people of whom theoretically I would be the closest to, who are terrible Packers fans. And you would think that if you're at a family gathering and maybe you're standing next to me, who is well known to be an angry, bitter, sad Minnesota sports fan, if you wanted to just sort of grease the wheels and be nice about it, you wouldn't necessarily celebrate wildly when the Vikings throw a terrible fourth quarter interception. But that's not what Packers fans do. They're all awful people, and I hope they're both listening to this. You two, you know who you are. You're awful people. I hope you choke. So great Thanksgiving. Great Thanksgiving, guys. Really enjoyed it.
So quick recap of where we're at. Things that suck. Vikings, eye surgeries, John's in-laws.
Yeah, my wife's family.
God, that's terrible. Another thing that I'm prepared to say sucks is the Bradford trade. Clarence, you're down with that, right?
I always have been. I stood on Bradford trade sucks island for, what was that, weeks? 13 weeks?
Months.
11 weeks?
It's months now.
For a while, those floodwaters were rising.
Yep, and everybody was mocked, ridiculed, standard stuff. And I just stood strong. Yep, and here now they all come back, hat in hand, wanting back, and it's fine. I'm used to it.
The funny thing is, this podcast last year when the draft came around, this podcast sat together and we said, I think we said it out loud that the Vikings needed to draft an offensive lineman in every round, plus trade some guys so they could draft extra offensive linemen, which I think you guys will remember they didn't do. And we said this is exactly what would happen. As somebody said, the Vikings offense is now an exercise in not getting the quarterback sacked. It's just a creative way to get the ball out of Bradford's hands before someone can rush by the toreadors on the offensive line and just absolutely murder the quarterback.
It is astonishing.
Do anything
astonishing,
line,
John.
Which is...
John, which is exactly 31 of 31 of 37... for like 108 yards. I mean, that's impossible to do. You can't do that. That's not physically possible.
Yeah, and there's been a couple weeks, I don't remember exactly what the final stats were from last week, but like, hey, he hasn't been getting sacked as much. And then you're like, well, their offense has 74 yards in the game.
Congratulations.
You did solve the problem, I suppose. I'm glad that you solved that one. But a little larger view would be, it's okay if he gets sacked once in a while. You guys got to throw it more than 2 yards. And, you know, the short passes always seem good in theory of like, yeah, just do that the entire time. But now we know. I mean, we knew to begin with, but now we know that's not a good recipe at all. So there's somewhere in between the first offense and the current offense. I think there's a sweet spot there that they could ideally have a competent offense, but they will never find it. They suck and they're terrible. And this trade is a disaster. Absolute disaster.
And none of this is anybody's fault but the general managers. Not one person responsible for that.
Yeah.
But the general manager. Unless you count Bill Beavers for being
worst.
Terrible.
I think I'm going to count Bill Beavers for being terrible. A little bit of accountability.
Yeah. You can have 1% of
the
blame.
Too.
Well, it's not his fault he was drafted by the Vikings. I mean, there's a lot of people who are bad at being offensive linemen. I'm bad at being offensive linemen. Would it be my fault if Rick drafted me in the fourth round?
No, I'm not saying it would be your fault, but I would also say that you suck at offensive line. So you suck.
Yeah, but it wasn't like Bill Beavers
fault
to write
fault
his resume and is only now getting caught.
Yeah, that's true.
It was all on tape. Everybody knew how bad he was, and Rick picked him anyways.
Within the first 5 seconds of him being drafted, everybody who had seen any tape at all was laughing hard.
Yes.
You sorted that. Like, let's hold out and see.
You sorted that spreadsheet backwards there, Rick. You got it on descending order. You want it on ascending.
That actually makes more sense than anything else that's happened.
Yep.
Just an accidental double click on the Excel spreadsheet. Okay, before we move on to the... So is there anything else in particular you guys want to discuss? I think we can quickly... Let's quickly talk about the predictions for tomorrow night's, Thursday night's game against the Cowboys. I haven't even looked at the line. I usually do that. I know nobody gives a shit, so I stopped doing it. probably like a touchdown or something like that. So, John, your thoughts?
My prediction?
Yes.
Dallas 39, Vikings 0.
That's a pretty good prediction. I see zero flaws or holes with that one. I'm going with it, too. 39-0. Stu, what do you got?
I think the Vikings offense will actually score because Dallas' defense isn't that good, but the Dallas offense is really, really good. So let's say 41-20.
Oh, man. Do you think that, I mean, 41 points with how slow our, I don't know, I just, that's, yeah.
Can I just break into Vikings prediction segment here for just a second? Because right on TV right now, they're having the Wolves postgame show. And on the bottom of the screen, they got it labeled Shooting Mechanics Instructional. And one of the doofuses who's standing there with a ball under his arm is Kevin Lynch, who I think if any of you saw the 1990 NCAA tournament, you know that Kevin Lynch is the worst possible person to teach anybody about shooting mechanics. Set your feet, you doofus. Set your feet and get a good shot off. Don't just throw up a running one from behind your stupid... I'm still angry
frickin'
about the 1990 NCAA tournament.
Freaking Georgia Tech, man.
All right, I'm adding Kevin Lynch to the things that suck.
Yep, Kevin Lynch sucks.
You heard it here first, once again. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled. I think we're going to ask Clarence his point of view on the game.
I'm a little bit more optimistic than the other two. I think I see it as a trap game for Dallas. They are, you know, they're riding high. They're riding high. Best record in the conference. The Vikings are desperate. Vikings are a desperate team. The Cowboys aren't desperate. They're riding high. They're probably looking past the Vikes. I think they play New York. I think they got the Giants up next week. So big NFC East matchup that basically will decide the division title and the first round bye. I think New York's like 8-3 or something like that. So that'll be a big game. I see Dallas looking past the Vikings. Dallas, as Stu mentioned, Dallas's defense struggling. They're struggling. And you've got a rookie running back. You've got a rookie quarterback. It's a long season. Typically, by this time last year, these guys were just wrapping up their college season. Now the NFL season. It's just getting into crunch time. I can see these young guys looking for a break.
On their laurels. Yep.
So. I'm more confident than the other two. I think this is the game that the Vikings break out. So, final score. I picture 97-3 Dallas.
Saw it coming, still appreciated it. Still appreciated it entirely.
Kai Forbath late field goal.
Late Garbage field goal, just to Garbage get on the board. It's good to it's momentum building
for next week. Yes, momentum. Build that momentum. Bring that momentum for next week. Yes.
Hey, we won that last play, so that's good. Boy, yeah, it's likely going to be pretty ugly. So that's that. Okay, so moving on, not past the Vikings, but past the on-field play. Another thing that I think sucks and is bad, cronies and corruption, stealing from hard-paying taxpayer workers.
You talking about Sam Hinkie?
We're gonna get to that. Just please put a pin in that Sam Hinkie point. No, I'm talking about this stadium scandal. I actually don't know anything about it. John, do you have any of the details? I want to be upset. Can you please help me be upset?
So here's what's going on. The people that quote-unquote run the stadium, well, we all know who runs the stadium. It's the Vikings. But they have a theoretically independent entity who basically they do whatever the Vikings say. It's called the Minnesota Sports Facilities Association or something like that? MSFC?
Commission, I believe.
Yeah,
MSFC. So they're a bunch of people who were appointed by the governor and a couple other people or something like that. And you can already sense the cronyism and corruption of anything that ends with appointed by the governor is pretty much going to happen. So the Star Tribune did some investigation and discovered that this Sports Facilities Commission, which, again, their task seems to be attracting events to the stadium, which doesn't seem like it would be that difficult of a job, given that if you want to hold a event indoors in a place that can hold more than 18,000 people, you pretty much have to go to US Bank Stadium. I think you just sit there and you wait for the phone to ring, I'm assuming. These people have these do-nothing jobs that pay $150,000 a year, and the Sports Facilities Commission also gets two suites at Vikings games. And as it turns out, you're going to be surprised by this, Brandon. So I'm pretty sure you're sitting down.
Sitting down.
You're going to be surprised, yep, but it turns out these unelected political appointees, buddies of the governor with do-nothing, six-figure jobs, as it turns out, they decided the suites were their own personal plaything and they should just invite their friends and family to hang out with them. Because that's exactly what the point of those suites were. Because they needed these suites, of course. They needed these suites to woo potential business partners or whatever the heck they pretend. It's just, it's another line item in the list of horrible, corrupt things about U.S. Bank Stadium. It starts at the top with Ziggy. Everything about the guy is horrible and corrupt. And goes all the way down to building the stadium and everything to do with the stadium. And I guess it's not surprising that the running of the stadium is also filled with cronyism and corruption. But it still is enough to make anybody angry. So that sucks, and they all should be in prison.
Are they going to get in trouble?
No, of course they're not going to get in trouble. They're political appointees.
Why did I even ask?
There will be angry editorials written. They'll get taken to task on various talk shows, and nothing will happen.
Yep. Then Joe Sutre will get mad about a lunchroom, and then we can all move on to the next thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you see...
So what are they like?
It just amazes me. I went back and I looked up the Ziggy Wilf racketeering charges, where he stole $84 million from a business partner. Shouldn't you go to jail for that? Seriously. He stole $84 million from someone else. You go to the bank and you steal $84 million. You go to jail. I'm pretty sure.
Usually. Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, anyway. I did not know about that. We should, that's interesting. I had no clue. I mean, I just have been assuming he's like just generally evil. I never really actually looked into the details of the specifics of his evilness.
Yep. So the people that got caught, you know, if they thought that this was all above board and it was fine, which is what they're claiming, you know, that the Star Tribune is asking about, is investigating, and they're asking and getting quotes from the people that use the suites, and you know, everybody say, "Oh, it's fine. This is just all part of what we do." But one of the things that happened, you know, I don't know. I have to deal with Star Tribune reporters occasionally. I was with my regular job. You know, I was on the front page a couple weeks ago.
Holding Rand accountable is your regular job, is what we know to be true.
Man, I wish. I wish that was my job. That's my dream job. That's my hobby.
You dabble in keeping Rand accountable. Yeah,
I do. I'm amateur, but I'd love to make it professional. Mm-hmm. But what happens is you get weeks of heads up. You'll get a phone call and they'll say, "Hey, this is so and so from Star Tribune. I'm calling about regarding X," and either it's a good thing and you're like, "Oh, okay, let's talk," or it's a bad thing and you're like, "Oh, gulp," and you poop in your pants, and then you say, "Well, hold on, let me look into this." Even if you have all the answers, you say, I don't know off the top of my head, and you say, "I'll get back to you." So what happened was, the day that the Star Tribune called and started asking questions, all these people submitted payment for the games that they had attended. Like, they gave $200 to this commission. Once the Star Tribune started asking questions, like, oh, what? So the Star Tribune went back and looked, and these people are going, oh, we paid for this. Well, it was like the day after the Star Tribune.
Yeah.
Like, weeks after the game happened, but the day after the Star Tribune. What a coincidence. Yeah, all these people all submitted.
I did the check through my app. It takes weeks.
All these people submitted the same payment on the exact same day. Oh, okay, sure. So if they really thought it was all above board, the smart thing would have been to not submit the payment. Just, no, I don't need to pay jack shit. This is all above board. This is all fine. But that really tells me that, yeah, they knew that it was dirty, and they just never thought anybody would find out. Why would they? Minneapolis is just one big country club, and everybody, you know, Ted Mondale hasn't had a, well, whatever. We don't have to talk about that. But it's all one big country club, and they all hire each other and appoint each other and give each other big fancy jobs, and they never thought anybody would hold them accountable. So I'm happy somebody is.
Us. Mostly us.
It's the Red Star. The Red Star holding the DFL accountable, which is always an interesting thing to see.
So you can add that to your list. Add that to the list of people who suck, Brandon. Michelle Kelm-Helgen. Ted Mondale. Mark Dayton.
Okay,
all people that suck.
Can I make? Can I get MS Brandon?
Yeah.
Can you put 1 minute on the clock for me for a quick political digression that Clarence can plug his ears for?
Go get a beer.
Everyone, put a red siren out and stuff.
Ready? I got 1 minute. Ready? Go.
I've had to deal with fellow lefties who just can't understand why or how the Rust Belt went so far towards Trump and against Hillary. And it's stories like this, which is why. It's this corrupt corporate, like, Democratic Party, you know, in bed with, you know, whomever. This type of shit is why they voted for Trump. Yes, Trump is just as bad, if not worse, but he told a better lie, so just deal with that. This is why those type of things happen. So, that's all. There, I'm done.
Oh, wow. That was 37 seconds. Well done.
Yep. There. Sorry.
I didn't need to plug my ears for that, Stu.
No, I know you hate talking about politics entirely.
I do, yes.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way and just, like, saying, hey, if you ever are curious, fellow lefties, about why Rust Belt goes against the Democrats, and why they actually liked Bernie Sanders and hated Hillary. It's this type of shit. Anyway, that's all. Sorry. I'm done with that now. Please move on to sports before I start, you know, burning a flag or something.
Just so... Great, now we're all on a list. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, I was already on it, so it's, you can't put me on there. Like, I suppose you could put me on there twice. I don't know what good that would do.
Yeah,
you're just making the list bigger at that point.
Like, put me in bold? Like,
yeah.
Italics?
It's unmanageable.
Underlined?
Yeah. All right, that's all I have to say about football. Let's move on to another thing that sucks bad. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
They are exactly
the same.
I don't even
know where to start with this.
They're exactly the same as they always were. They're exactly the same as they've been every year since 2004.
The only thing that has changed is our expectations of them. Is that fair? Because sometimes, some years we don't give a shit. Other years we're pulling our hair out even though they're the same exact team. This is a pulling their hair out team because we were expecting a little bit more. Everybody except Towns sucks in some certain way. And even Towns isn't perfect, but he's...
Well, he had 47 tonight.
We'll leave him out of this episode. Yeah, we'll leave him out of this episode.
Yeah, 47 and 18, so I think we can probably give him a pass for tonight's game.
We will, for sure. Towns, go home early. You're not in the Everything Sucks episode. Go to a movie. Go solo a movie.
So, the Timberwolves, their season has started.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another
so
thing
their season
sucks.
Has started.
Clarence's attitude towards
and
basketball.
You guys, I don't think I was part of the NBA preview episode, you guys predicted how many wins for the Timberwolves?
43, I think.
I don't think I was on that one.
So that's five. They play 80 some games. Jesus Christ. Okay, so wow. So that's you guys all predicted right around 500.
Yep.
How many games have they played so far?
They are 5-13.
That's 18 games.
18 games.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yep. You heard it right.
How many? They played 18 games, and how many have they won?
Five.
And
of the 18. And they've lost 13, and of those 13, like, 9 of them, they were winning and blew the game. A couple others, they were, like, blown out by, like, 35. So it's been, like, straight disaster from the get-go all season long. They're very bad. Horseshit. They're terrible to watch. There's nothing good about them.
I'm currently interacting with Brower online, and he says, this is fine. His hashtag is, this is fine. So I'm, like, thinking in my head, oh, okay, so they're right hovering around 500, maybe lost one or two more than they've won. They're 5-13. Mm-hmm. And people are like, yep. this is fine.
That's an ironic, this is fine, Clarence. That's irony.
Is it?
There's a meme going around of the dog sipping coffee in hell, saying, this is fine,
no,
this is fine.
I don't think it is, because then I replied, he said, they'll be fine. And I said, maybe it's a disaster, ? Because all I do is ask questions. I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions. That's all
everybody loves when you do that, by the way.
Just asking questions. I'm sure you do. And his response
popular
was, no.
Bit.
I said, maybe it's a disaster. And he said, no, I just don't see it. There's 21-year-olds. Yeah. And he's saying this, giving the keys to the kids, and there's going to be some bumps in the road, basically, is his point. So he's fine with it, 5-13. He's fine with 5-13 when expectations were at 500.
Well, okay, I will say this. All the expectation articles from the smart guys and the dumb guys, everything combined was usually between about 32 and 45 wins. So they'll probably be on the low end of that. The highest expectations were maybe they sneak into the playoffs. So I think the reason that some people, although it's the very minority, are thinking like this isn't the worst thing in the world is because this was never going to be the season. I just didn't expect it to be this tough to watch, because there are sometimes when you watch, well, actually almost every year when you watch the Wolves, they get their asses beat and you look at it and you go, kind of like the Bill Beavers thing of like, you guys are just horseshit at basketball. That's the problem. You're young, or you're just some journeyman Anthony Tolliver and, you know, fucking Johnny Flynn and all these like either shitty old guys or shitty young guys or whatever. But this roster is like, they're all really talented.
So they have a talented roster that's underachieving.
Talented, underachieving roster of like super young players. They just don't know how to win yet. Like they're
so. This is a disaster. Who do we blame this disaster on? Somebody's accountable. Who do we hold accountable for this disaster?
It's they just suck. This is not a disaster episode. This is just a they suck episode. So, I think it's mostly, I would say two things. Number one, I would say the season is over. That's a good thing to just remember of like, expect maybe 30 wins and a top five pick again. The season's done. Like, put it to bed.
What?
Watch it with no expectations anymore.
No, like it's, no.
They're not going to get 40 wins. That's bad.
You were talking like 7 or 8 seed playoffs.
I was. That ship is so far onto the horizon.
Wait, they're not even a quarter of the way through the season. It's not even a quarter of the way through the season, and nobody's accountable.
As we always say, as John just said, expect everything to be the worst, sometime, and you'll usually be right.
Well, that's fine, but that doesn't get to who's accountable for things not being fine. So who's accountable?
Well,
who do we blame?
I would say the blame is...
I think it's... We probably should start saying that Fib sucks. I mean, there's no reason not to say it.
He totally sucks. It's there the sucks go. Episode. Fuck it. I will say this. I'm trying this new thing. I'm trying this new thing where I'm trying to be a little bit more like Clarence, where everything's black and white and no gray. This is awesome. Really difficult for me.
Yes.
So I'm going to try it again.
Yes, Tibbs, put that hood over sucks. Your head, Kermit. Put it over your head. Come to the dark side. Come on over.
Okay. He sucks right now. Here's a thing that might make
it.
Other Wolves
You coached
fans
it with right now.
Better. I promise I'm going to get right back into the black and white. I promise. This is just a really quick...
That's not black and white. No, saying right now, putting quote-unquote right now at the end is not black and white. That's coaching. That's gray, Poochie. You say he sucks.
Okay, so if
period.
You say he sucks, but what if I don't think he's going to suck in the future? Do I still just say he sucks right now, and then I just...
You say he sucks, and then you move on and make your point. So go ahead. Go ahead and explain what you're trying to say.
They are bad right now. I would also say one thing that's given me a little bit of solace with this horseshit team is, number one, as I just mentioned, expecting the worst for this season. Like, it's over and they are terrible, so don't expect a bunch of wins anymore. So that's number one. Number two, I think it's important to remember how much time it takes with a new coach and a new system. A lot of the high-profile coaches... And, like, a new high-profile coach with a talented team, like the Miami Heat when LeBron and Bosch first came together, they were, like, 500 for a long time. They're horseshit. The Cavs had a losing record at one point in the first year with LeBron, who's amazing. Oklahoma City with Donovan and a bunch of other high-profile examples, almost all of them had a really, really, really rocky first half of the first season. It's just how it works. And I feel like that's coming... to life when we're watching this super talented team that, like, Gorgie is good at defense and Towns is good at defense, but when you watch them, they don't know when to, like, switch or help out or whatever, and their defense is absolutely horseshit.
When so, Tibbs runs Ricky out of town, because you love Ricky. Ricky's your boyfriend, and you love Tibbs. When Tibbs runs Ricky out of town, will you finally say just, that tip sucks, period, and not couch it with any grayness? Because you're going to have to pick a side.
No, I love
when he runs Ricky out of town, which he will, you're going to have to pick a side.
You know Poochie loves the hypotheticals, but I don't know right now. I don't know if maybe it's just an incompatibility. The offense that they're running does not need Ricky as much as the old offenses, and that kind of sucks. Because there's so many times when Ricky will just, like, run it up the court and hand it off to Wiggins to do some bullshit, or Levine, and then go stand on the corner, and that's sort of not using him appropriately. But
well, if
the offense he wants to run...
If Tibbs didn't suck, he wouldn't try to shoehorn Ricky into an offense that he's not compatible with. If he were good and didn't suck.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. I think it
so what am I missing?
Defense because, well, I think it... The biggest thing is they need to learn how to play defense because they're best in transition. You can't obviously be in transition if the other team is making every single shot they take. So hopefully they figure that out by the second half, and then they're just off and running, and they improve in the second half, and they win. You know, next year is the year that they sneak into the playoffs.
Oh, great. More hope for the future.
Wow.
That's great.
I'm telling you, another thing that sucks is waiting for next year. It's fucking horrible.
Wow.
It's like 40 years in a row now.
Oh, no.
Every year. Every
entire
goddamn year with this
Kimbrel's
team.
Franchise, the Target Center, everything to do with the Target Center, Minneapolis, they all suck.
The bench... sucks. The Wolves bench sucks. Andrew Wiggins, a lot of times he sucks. He scores a lot, but he sucks on defense. Zach LaVine is the worst defender in the world. Sucks bad. And Chris Dunn. John, it came true. What we were hoping for came true.
Chris Dunn
pretty
sucks.
Bad. He's not good. He sucks.
And Fibs.
Tyus Jones is better than Chris coach. Dunn. And that's not just anybody from Apple Valley saying that. But Tyus Jones is better.
The best way to do this is by playing Tyus Jones for 12 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Fibs. Oh, my God. Tyus Jones weighs like 75 pounds.
What if Chris Dunn is actually good and it's Tibbs that's holding him back?
Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, have you... I don't know if Tibbs is teaching Dunn to throw up air balls with nobody within 10 feet of him. But maybe. Maybe that's his strategy.
Well, Ricky can't shoot either, but you love Ricky. And you're saying that's not Tibbs' fault. That is the gray area. And it's not, well, maybe it's not Chris Dunn's fault. Maybe it's Tibbs' fault.
No, I'm not blaming Tibbs for Ricky's shooting either. But Ricky's really good at other things. Just a very limited, beautiful man. Or limited. I didn't mean that second part.
Can I do a quick pop cultural reference about Tyus Jones or not?
Sure,
please. Of course, always.
He looks sort of he looks like, you know, you had mentioned he was kind of a little smaller in stature than other NBA players. He looks sort of like the plastic bag in American Beauty, just kind of floating around there. He's beautiful, but he's clearly... Something bad is going to happen to him because he's so light. He's just floating around out there in the open court. He's going to get decked by, you know, some giant Ukrainian dude. So, that's all. That was it. Sorry.
Wow.
If he's the plastic pig, then Pekovic is...
God.
The dad out in the garage smoking.
Pekovic is Chris Hooper.
Either he's way, Kevin Spacey is getting shot dude. After the season.
Oh boy. I don't know. I'm trying. Typically what I do when a team that I like sucks, whether it's the Wolves, Twins, whatever, I just stop paying attention to them. Like, I have better things to do. Like, I'm the epitome of a fair weather fan. So I'm going to try to stick with this team this year. I'm going to try to overcome that poor loser mentality that I typically have. And so hopefully I can keep giving updates. I know you guys don't really care about updates, but I'll have them for you if you ever are curious. I'm looking forward to next week, Clarence, when you ask if the season has started. I love that. And then how many games there are in the season, also classic. and then use the word disaster like 40 other times, which is just pretty good. You're not too far off, though.
I'm just asking questions, Brandon. Just asking questions. Just asking questions. Maybe Tibbs is a disaster? Question mark. That's all I'm asking.
Maybe. I'm saying maybe. That's pretty good for me. Okay. Should we move on? Does anybody have any other basketball?
Please.
All right, we're going to do a quick lightning round of other things that suck, and then we got to talk Gilmore Girls, because we have a few thoughts on the Gilmore Girls. Tell me, can you confirm that this sucks? The Twins rehiring all of their old, used-to-be-good players to do... I don't even know. Like, Kadir is in charge of the clubhouse?
Indifferent. They hired him to go down and hit a few fungos and... You know, in Fort Myers, what? This is a ticket selling ploy, nothing more, nothing less. It's fine. It is a business. They need to sell tickets. They are appealing to a certain segment of the fan base, and that's fine. I don't think it will make a significant difference, good or bad, in the in their performance. I don't think it can hurt. I don't know what it would hurt. What would it hurt having those guys around? It can only do good. But mostly it's there just to sell tickets.
Do you think those guys want to get into coaching and this is like step one? Is that right?
Could be. I don't fully understand what their role is. They're going to be in spring training.
Like help with the draft or something or trade deadlines. It was just kind of a confusing thing. And I saw a quote from, I just read like the press release and LaTroy Hawkins was like, I had a couple other offers too. I'm like, I don't even know what you're doing in this role. What were the other offers that you were getting? It's just all very loose, and they are really into the corporate speak. John, you were mentioning that before, but it was, you know, I read like 500 words of a press release and understood zero of them. And just tell me specifically what they're going to be doing.
They're going to be sitting in suites at U.S. Bank Stadium, and their checks will be signed by the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission.
Son of a bitch.
God damn it. Okay, so we will not have that be part of the Things That Suck series. Next thing I wanted to point out, a thing that sucks, is haters hating on Sam Hinkie. Moving on, going to basketball. Sam Hinkie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
He sucks.
Time out. That interview was... Oh, what would be a good word? What would be a polite
surreal?
Word? Interesting?
Interesting. Yeah, I honestly could talk about it for a really long time because, you know, there are things that I think for people who want to like him, there were enough things in there where you're like, see, that's a redeemable guy. But then if you want to hate him, you're like, this guy, I've never met or heard of a human being with his head so far up his own ass.
it's remarkable. Yeah. It's remarkable. He's... God bless him. Whatever. Nothing made me angry at all. He's just kind of interesting. If anything, I don't think it made me angry. It was the comment that he made about intelligence is the new... It's not class, it's intelligence. What was it? I'm paraphrasing.
No, it was something like that. It's the new...
You know, you didn't wake up on...
society.
Yeah, I woke up on third, but I don't mean by class. I meant that I just was born intelligent. Now, his father is like a executive at Halliburton. He works overseas. So, Sam, you kind of did wake up on third base. Maybe just a little bit. Buddy,
even if the Halliburton thing were untrue, just imagine if you were just having drinks with somebody who was like, "Yeah, I'll admit it. You know, I was born on third base," and you were like, "Oh, do you come for money?"
Huh? That's really self-aware. Yeah. That's oh wow, that's really modest of you.
I'm a genius. You're like, "Oh well, I'm gonna go run you over in my car."
What the hell is the matter with quarter? Are you yanking my tip right now? No, you're serious.
No, I'm just super lucky. I'm just an unbelievably smart person.
If you're that smart, you have to know how those words are going to come across once written down on paper in black and white. People are going to read this in Sports Illustrated or at SI.com. If you're that intelligent, you have to know that the words that are passing your lips will not come across very well to 99.9% of the public. Right?
And there's some part of it too, and I understand that he's really proud of like that he's successful and works hard and is thoughtful about things or whatever. Like that's fine, but you don't need to like point it out over and over and over again. Like if you're Sam Hinkie and you know the rap on you is that's who you are, right? You're just like this chronic robot, no emotion, overthinker, whatever, and you want to rehab your image to get a new GM gig. and a guy calls you from SI and is like, I'd love to do a profile on you. Wouldn't almost anybody be like, all right, cool, yeah, come out and we'll like just watch basketball, we'll go to local games, we'll just talk hoops, and we'll go to bars with people, or he doesn't drink, but like we'll go have some coffee with some buds, and that'll be the story on me. Like, I'll give you a couple tidbits here and there about how hard I think about fucking bullshit, but otherwise I'm a guy who's living in the world. And he gives this guy comes up to San Francisco and he goes to like a bunch of different meetings with startup guys, and then he brings them into his Stanford lecture and whatever else. It's like, what the and then he's also giving quotes about like, yeah, I know how I'm perceived, but I'm trying to change that. It's like, are you sure? It sounds like you're just trying to prove how smart you are. Once
I don't think he gets, I just, and this is going to come across, I hope it doesn't come across the wrong way, I don't know that he doesn't care. I think there's a lack of self-awareness that strikes me as like, maybe he's kind of like the guy on The Imitation Game. Like, he's on the spectrum. Like, it just doesn't... the normal social mores just don't register with him. He doesn't get it.
I think he's just too in love with how deep he thinks about things. Because there are some things in there that were pretty cool. Like, the thing that he bought, that he like wooed his wife on a payphone, and then he bought the phone and put it in their house. That's kind of a funny, quirky story. But then it's like, all of his conversation about, like, I owned, like, he knows the story about this decision fatigue when all these super smart people wear the same thing every single day because they're all like, oh, I don't have time to think about whatever.
But he has
to go to the point of not only, like, I have 25 of the exact same blue blazers and here's why, and it's like a long, in-depth discussion. It's like, that's when you know, people understand.
Elon Musk.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Even Warren Buffett has a genuine side, or a humanistic side to him, and the guy's obviously a genius and billionaire.
Well, and people have always talked about the example is Obama, who always wears the same thing. But Obama, they asked him about it, he was like, I don't know, I just wear the same thing. It's easy. He doesn't go in then for another 10 minutes about his theory about decision fatigue and blah blah, you know. It's just like,
even if that's what he believes, he has the self awareness to know enough self awareness.
He doesn't say it out loud to people. Like,
yeah,
you don't.
He knows how it would come across.
And even if you have thought a lot about, I'm not going to make this decision very often. Wouldn't you just be at least a little self deprecating and be like, yeah, I'm just lazy. I really just am the laziest person in the world. Just something to endear yourselves to your fellow human.
I just don't think he's got it.
No, he has no interest in. And I think there's a part of me that is somewhat like, left to my own devices and at my worst, I kind of can turn into Sam Hinkie and like overthink shit like crazy. But I have seen the look in people's faces. Like, I went on vacation with some friends. Danielle and I went with another couple in Chicago, and I like planned out the whole thing. And I thought about like, well, everybody wanted to do whatever. And I started talking to them about like, oh, I was thinking, here's my process of how I came up with this plan. And I just saw their eyes glass over. Like, I don't give a shit. The thought that I just don't care. What is wrong with you? Why are you fucking telling me this? And I immediately was like, I don't know. These are just seem like cool places. Like, just fucking keep it to yourself if you're going to overthink about things. It's just a very odd thing to have that personality and then on top of it have to go around and tell everybody how hard you thought about something. Nobody gives a shit at all. In fact, they start to actively hate you. it was a really great profile though overall though. It was like super insightful and interesting and whatever, but man, just in love with the smell of his own farts. It's crazy.
Tried to tell you. Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like no, episode I still love two.
That. Still love him. Love him to death.
Okay. God bless him. That's what I you know how I love dig his heels in Poochie. That's my favorite Poochie. Mm-hmm. Is despite all evidence, dig your heels in. I respect that.
Good. Yep. I will ride or die with Sam Hinkie. I know that's insane. But I've always been doing it, so it's no different now. Okay, so we should move on. Other things that suck. John, can you explain to me, all I have on here on the list is Mitch Leidner's accuracy. How does that suck any different than than before. I mean,
I'm pretty sure I have the stats. I'm pretty sure I have the following stats right. Number one, the Gophers in Wisconsin play every year, longest running series in Division I football. The Gophers have led 5 out of the last 10 games against Wisconsin at halftime and won 0 of them. And part of the reason is guys like Mitch Leidner, who is the worst Gopher quarterback of my lifetime. Mitch Leidner, I think I have this right, completed 6 passes in the second half against Wisconsin, 4 of which were caught by Wisconsin players. And it would be kind of funny if it wasn't just a microcosm of this whole season. Remember when, I can't even remember which draft expert supposedly said Mitch Leidner was going to be a first-round pick. I wonder if
Todd McShay was the guy with behind that.
Yeah, Todd McShay, you should probably be in jail because that's terrible. And every Gopher fan was like, he can't actually throw the ball straight. But we all thought, oh, he's a senior. Maybe he'll get better this year. And he never got any better at all. And he was terrible. And he ruined the whole Gopher season. So I hope he's been getting made fun of because at the Gopher football banquet, this is about 3 or 4 nights ago now. The Gophers had their awards banquet. Their season's not over yet. They're going to play in some fourth-tier crappy bowl game because they suck. But at the awards banquet, somebody made the glorious decision to have the Gopher quarterbacks fire footballs into the crowd. I think they were some sort of ceremonial footballs. I don't know if they were just regular footballs or if they were just going to give them out to some booster who'd been invited or whatever, or whether they were supposed to throw them to a friend or a family member. So Mitch Leidner gets up there, and he's in this ballroom, and there's a chandelier in the middle of the ballroom. And of course, Mitch Leidner smokes the chandelier with his soul, because that's who he is. A guy that can't even avoid the chandelier in a ballroom, because he's that inaccurate. And it reminded me, I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but one time, back when I worked over at the university, I left the football building behind Adam Weber, former Gopher quarterback, and he came out, and he was parked across the street, and I was standing at the bus stop, so I was just watching this whole thing unfold, and Adam Weber gets across the street, and he'd parked illegally, and there's a parking ticket on his car, and he's furious. He snatches the parking ticket off his windshield, and he looks at it, and he's just angry, and there's a garbage can right on the corner of the across from the building there, and Adam Weber's just angry. He balls it up in his fist, and he throws it at the garbage can, and the parking ticket sails over the garbage can by about 10 feet and lands in the street. And the only more appropriate thing would have been if a Wisconsin player had been there to pick it off and run it back the other way.
Oh, Jesus.
So anyway, Mitch Leidner sucks.
A good rule of thumb is we kept waiting for Leidner to change, and he, for the most part, is who he is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how life works.
Yeah. People don't change. Clarence has said it many times. People don't change.
Okay. The last sports thing that sucks before we move on to Gilmore Girls is the Tracy Clays contract extension.
Yep.
Or whatever it is. He's still employed. That
it was
sucks.
Nice that Mark Coyle finally got out of his undisclosed location to make a statement. I don't know if he emailed
it. Did he actually?
No, he didn't make a statement. He emailed it out. It was a statement from the university, not even from him. No press conference, no nothing. The man, I don't believe he exists.
Yeah, he's a recluse. What if?
I know they always say they're going to hire. I know they always say they hire the opposite of what they had before. But for Christ's sake, I know.
Yeah.
I know that, what's his name? Who was the previous guy?
Norwood Teague.
I keep wanting to say Hunter Wendelstead.
No, not Hunter Wendelstead.
It wasn't Hunter. Norwood Teague.
Norwood Teague.
I know he was a schmoozing goofball, horrible person. But, nobody's saying you got to go out and get drunk and grab everybody's ass and jugs and honk honk. But maybe
we
have a press conference.
Do that.
Like, come out of your bunker?
Yeah.
Saddam, come out of your spider hole, Saddam.
So apparently the opposite of a serial philanderer is a made-up person.
He's fictional. He's,
all right, last
he's
time
John's
we had
twin
a,
brother.
Last time we had fictional. A guy who sexually assaulted people, so this time we're going to have a ventriloquist dummy. as the athletic director?
For Christ's sake. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, that's it for sports. Should we get on to...
Oh, I also want to mention everybody, everybody on the Wild who's not Devin Dubnyk sucks. Devin Dubnyk is awesome. Everybody else on that team sucks. And it has been fun watching Bruce Boudreau just be absolutely flummoxed by the fact that he has all these seemingly talented players on his team who disappear for 4 weeks at a time. It has just been fun to read his quotes in the paper, like, I don't know. We got guys that just don't show up. Mikko Koivu, I don't know. Was he in? Did he play? I think I played him. He was in the lineup. It's just been fun to watch Bruce Boudreau being absolutely bemused by the same things that have made us so mad for many years.
I haven't been keeping crazy close attention, but I feel like the subtext of every one of his conversations or quotes is like, these guys kind of suck, huh?
Yeah. What do you want me to do? I didn't sign these players. They all kind of suck.
Right. Well, good to know. Other things that suck. I'm going to add them to the list.
Yeah, go ahead and put the Wild on that list. Gopher hockey sucks. Gopher basketball sucks. Uh-huh. Gopher women's basketball sucks. They all suck.
Yep. Yep. All right. Main event. Are we ready?
Ready.
Oh, we're ready.
Gilbert girls.
The Gilbert girls. Okay, so last week at the end of the podcast, for those who don't know, which is almost everybody, I assume, at about the hour 15 mark, I think, Stu said, if three people respond to me somehow on Twitter or something that they want me to talk about Gilmore Girls, I will talk about Gilmore Girls, which was a funny challenge. And then I think we all immediately freaked out that it wasn't going to come true, in which case I think we would have had to do a lot of soul searching that fewer than three people are listening to this podcast at the end. Luckily, I mean... it went gangbusters. I think we almost got like 7 or 8 replies. It was fucking nuts.
My feed got double digits. So that's although Wade did ask 5 times.
11.
So yeah.
A lot of Wade.
God bless Wade.
A lot of Wade. Yep. But either way, we hit the goal of 3, which is great to keep the number that low. So we're gonna talk about Gilmore Girls. I have seen all 4 episodes.
As have I.
As has Stu. The other two have not. So you guys are going to be... you can press stop and leave if you want to, or just be super confused. Because, Stu, do you want to start, or I have some questions.
Okay, well, let's see. We can do a quick... we'll do a quick backgrounder for people who've not watched the show, which is 50% of the podcast. It was... it was like an hour-long drama with a lot of comedic elements. It was on the WWWB, home of Reba, in the early to mid-aughts. It was about a single mother and her daughter. The daughter was born when the mom was 16, Lorelai and Rory Gilmore. And it's basically about their relationship and the goofballs who surround them in the town of Stars Hollow, Connecticut. It had really...
it's sort of like that city from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, it was exactly like that. And the show had very, very fast-paced dialogue. It was kind of like The West Wing, only liberals don't jack off to it, that I know of.
Some
probably do.
That I know.
It's very elitist.
Yeah, and Lauren Graham actually should be president, but that's just an opinion, not the sportive group opinion, just mine. The new, these 4 episodes they released, they take place about 10 years after the last season. Rory is like 32 now, and she's still trying to, you know, figure out some things in her life. Definitely a millennial. She was going to be a journalist, but that career path realistically is portrayed as being one that's not necessarily the easiest one in 2016, and she's just basically getting by on freelance stuff, and she's banging her college boyfriend still. And her college boyfriend is named Logan Huntsberger, and he's a rich publishing magnate's scion. And he's also engaged to another woman, so she's kind of getting around a little bit, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not judging here on the sport of at all. So, and Lorelai,
a little bit,
yeah. Well, We understand, John. And Lorelai is still in Stars Hollow. She's managing the hotel, the Dragonfly Inn, that she's been managing for most of the show's run. She's living with her boyfriend, Luke. And her dad had just died, and the actor who played him died in real life. So it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of how they handled it. It was Edward Herrmann, who I know John remembers from playing the head of the vampires in Lost Boys. I think John remembers that, at least. John?
I don't know just what do, any of that means.
Okay. You ever see the movie Lost Boys in 1987, John?
No, John? Are there vampires in it?
Yes, Kiefer Sutherland was one of the vampires. He tried to get Jason Patrick to be a vampire, but then both of the Coreys stopped him. Feldman and Haim. I'm sorry.
We're getting off track here.
Sorry.
That sounds like quite the film.
It was really, really quite not great. Anyway, there's a lot of tension now between Lorelai and her mother, Emily, Richard's widow. And Emily still has some resentments from Lorelai getting knocked up when she was 16 and leaving to raise Rory on her own in Stars Hollow. So that's kind of the whole setup for these four episodes.
Richard's drag story.
Yes, exactly. So, and that's where we're at with these four episodes.
Gilbert, Gilbert girls got any nudity? Any bush?
No, they did swear. They did swear. They did swear in the Netflix episodes, though.
They said bullshit like three
times. Yeah, Emily did, which is kind of breaking character for Emily's very, very prim and proper. But she said bullshit like three times to some trophy wife of another rich magnate of some sort.
Hmm.
Beyond that, it is very. I think the word is twee. It's kind of lighthearted. There's for sure no, not even close to nudity. I mean,
there's no nudity, but Clarence, there is musical elements, or are musical elements. So that's where you tap out, like, right away.
Musicals?
Hmm.
Wait.
A lot of puns?
Hold on. The Gilmore Girls is a musical?
No.
No. There's just a part of the show was there's people in this small. It's a small town show, so there's.
So like, it's like Cop Rock.
People practicing.
Yes, kind of like Cop Rock.
It's like Cop.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's a play within the play
show,
and the play within the play is a musical.
Well, they're trying to put on a show, John.
It's like
the Ortonville Big Stone Lake Town Players trying to. Put on a show, like doing Cats on the shores of Big Stone Lake, and Dave Marthaler is Rum Tum Tugger.
What are they doing?
it was about Stars Hollow's history. I just make Clarence laugh.
Sure, waiting for Guffman.
Yes, it is kind of like Waiting for Guffman.
That's actually a good thing. It's like if you went back to Ortonville, they made a show of Ortonville, except everybody maybe this is true about Ortonville. I'm sorry, I don't know. Everyone has pretty good intentions, and they're all very friendly, and they all have a little bit of quirks that are okay. There's like the one corner store, and
that's
the newspaper, and there's the. It's like that, and everybody's kind of a funny little quirky character. Within this thing, it's very much like a timeless show, but surrounded. It's really about these two ladies, the Gilbert girls,
the Gilbert gals.
Yep, the Gilbert gals.
Right.
Yep.
Well, that is exactly what Ortonville's like. So I guess I know everything about it now.
No, pawn shops, check cashing, porn stores. I've been there.
Meth.
Is that Stars Hollow or Ortonville?
Meth, cockfights.
Are we actually talking about Stars Hollow or Ortonville here?
No, we're not. Stars Hollow is a very innocent place.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody's even seen having. Maybe there's some, like a glass of wine here and there.
Oh, they're all drunk.
It's very innocent.
Well, I was a teenage boy in Ortonville, and I can report definitively that there's no pornography for sale anywhere in the town.
you just got to know where to look, my friend.
I had money to give.
You just gotta get. You gotta get your guy in Chicago, right. Light a candle on the end of a fence post, at Farmer Johnson's farm, and a stack of penthouses will arrive on your doorstep in the morning.
We know for sure that Chicago and Albert are both disgusting dens of iniquity, so...
This is very true. So, did you like the show, Brandon?
Stu, I have some... I did enjoy the show. I wasn't obsessed with the... I didn't like it as much as you did the first installment. I actually sort of missed parts of seasons. I knew in general what happened, and but I, you know, if I missed a few episodes while Danielle was watching, that was fine with me. I thought it was good. It was kind of a comfortable, like, getting right back in the swing of things, or something about the show and the dialogue that's always kind of fun. I have a question for you. Who is the worst on the show? My answer is Rory.
Yeah,
is that okay?
It's Rory. She makes bad decisions.
Valedictorian, and now she's a loser.
She just makes bad decisions, and then she like hangs out with rich kids. And she makes worse decisions.
She's whiny? Because that's like in Sopranos. That drew me crazy.
She's not Meadow. No, she's not as bad.
Great show.
She's not as bad as Meadow Soprano. No. But she's got...
But Meadow, every word that came out of her mouth was a whine. Everything she said, and that just drove me crazy. Is she like that?
No.
No, she wasn't whiny. She was more like lost and a little bit entitled and... Like, she had to move back to the hometown, but was super, like, uncool about it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, it's kind of not a great thing for some people to have to move back to the hometown, whatever. But she just sort of, like, was a sort of entitled, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the point of the show, but she never really... Not in a bad way. She wasn't a horrible person, but she was, like, the worst of the all... Almost everybody is not perfect, but fairly redeeming, and... I think that must have been part of the point of these new episodes was that she was just lost. But mm-hmm. I don't know, man. She was a bummer.
Yeah, I tend to agree with
that. I think
she
was the worst.
My main issue with the show is that I didn't mention this when I was doing the 15-minute prologue to this conversation, that there's a lot of ancillary characters in this show. And they basically had to try to figure out a way to fit all of them in, since they like signed up all the actors who were ever on the show. So they had to like say, hey, here's this guy, and he's been doing this for the last 10 years. And like exposition like that, it was really difficult. Like Lane is Rory's best friend, and she was in a band called Hep Alien. She was the drummer, and they had to like figure out a way to get the whole band back together. So, like, Rory just showed up, and there was the whole band, including Sebastian Bach from Skid Row, Clarence, who I know you like.
You got my attention.
He's Gil, the bass player, on there. So they're all just there jamming on a Joe Jackson oldie. And so that was just kind of like, you know, the way they had to shoehorn. Yeah. It was, it's a good song. It's just, you know, they had to shoehorn all these characters into it. So that, I think, was the part that really, you know, was kind of a... it was hard. Ricky was a young boy. He had a heart of stone. So, but yeah, that part was a little... But I mean, I like, overall, I know that, and John will hear this out, the emotional arc of the show, I really thought paid off in the end. The fourth installment really had a lot of... Oh boy, I'm not crying, am I? I'm not crying about Lorelai calling Emily to talk about her late father. That isn't making me cry. And I'm, you know, my family is just bawling on the couch, and I'm just sitting there. I'm strong. This isn't affecting, and I'm just dying. So, and there's a raft of those moments in that last episode. Even though the fucking Life and Death Brigade shows up, and that's a Logan's buddies from Yale. They're these rich garbage dick kids who show up because they, like, you know, take their trust funds and buy bars and dress up in costumes, and oh, they're the worst. Clarence, you'd hate them. You would hate them so much.
Which one is Brandon? Which character is Brandon?
Which character is Brandon? I'm glad you asked. I actually assigned all characters to all of us.
Oh no. Motherfucker.
Brandon is Michelle. He's the hotel concierge.
What? Wait. Is it Michelle Woman, or is he like a French man?
He's a French man. He's a hotel. He's the hotel concierge, and he has a seething contempt for all of the townies. But he loves French pop music, and he dresses really well. So that's, I mean, he's a total brand.
So he's like you're Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yeah, there's a little bit there. You're
underneath the sycamore tree.
Clarence is Luke. He's a small businessman. He hates technology, and he can operate tools. I think that's fair.
Is he grizzled?
He is grizzled. He's a former baseball player who always is wearing flannel and a ball cap.
Backwards.
Yes.
Backwards.
Backwards. I'm not kidding. It's, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. ain't here. I don't look backwards thing. Luke.
John is...
He's working too hard to have...
He is, forward. Yes. Sorry, John is Taylor. He owns the grocery store in town. And he runs the town meetings, and he tries to keep the town going. He is exasperated with everyone by him, around him, because they make terrible decisions at all times. But he's also secretly crazy and angry all the time. So that's Taylor. Oh, so
that is me.
That is totally you.
He is. And everything but your... I think I'm Jess. Otherwise, it's perfect. Can I be that guy, the super strong dude who's a good rider?
Yeah, I was going to make myself Jess, but I realized I couldn't, because there's no way I can look that good in a t-shirt and jeans. So I'm actually Doyle. And Doyle's married to somebody
Luke
who's way
better. Does Luke participate in these...
Pardon me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I stepped in your touchdown call.
Oh, no, I was just saying that Doyle's married to somebody out of his league, and he gets paid money to write things. So that's... I'm Doyle.
There you go.
Good cop. Does Luke like doing the town stuff? Does he like...
No, he hates it. It drives him nuts.
Going to the town meeting?
He goes to the meetings, and everyone drives him nuts because they're so stupid.
All the get-togethers and the... Yeah, no,
He wants to run his business and be left alone, and he hates it when people are on asking him for Wi-Fi passwords. So.
Oh, shit, that's awesome. Good call. Does he like... Has he ever done the old up and down with Lauren Graham?
Not in real life that I know of.
Nightly.
But he is... Well, yeah, they're married.
No, not in real life. On the show. I don't know her name on the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we put a big spoiler alert out here, but they end up getting married at the very end of the show. They've been living together in sin for, seven, 8 years.
Nailed it. Because I like her.
Also, Clarence, Luke is a really good cook. He loves cooking.
He does.
For his job. He loves cooking.
He loves making breakfast foods,
I like Luke.
Too.
Oh, Luke and I
There's
are...
There's another crazy scene, Clarence, you'll love. Somebody comes in and asks to see the menu, and then they ask for a side of white rice, and he kicks them out.
Get the fuck out of my store. Get out of my establishment. I love him.
Yeah.
I might change my name to Luke.
No, that... Luke Swamp Town.
What did you think of the ending, Brandon?
Sounds great. Oh, man, I don't know. My initial thoughts were I did not like it at all. I thought it was a weird... I thought these four episodes were meant to, put a bow on it. And it seemed like it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole last episode, everybody's got their sort of redemption, for the most part, or whatever. And then that's more of like a cliffhanger type thing, it seemed like. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be, because you can easily envision that's just, that's how life's going to be then moving forward. But it just felt a little bit like it would have worked when she was 22 at the end of the, 10 years ago. But now it's... doesn't really seem to have the same oomph that it does as a 32-year-old. So
yeah, it would have had more oomph, I think.
I wish it would have ended a different way.
Yeah, I it would have had a more impact if she was younger, telling her mom that. But, it kind of, they had mentioned, full circle is a thing, a phrase that had come up, a couple of times in those four episodes. And when she tells Lorelai that she got knocked up by a rich kid, well, that we think that's who knocked her up, that you know, well, there's full circle again. You know, how she went to go see her birth father, who's just a rich ne'er-do-well, and kind of asked her, you know, how things were when, you know, she was born, and if he was there for her mother, and he really wasn't. He said, well, you know, she just kind of took care of things, and she kind of knows what her fate's going to be, because, you know, Logan's going to be with his, you know, fiance and being the, you know, rich publishing kid, and she's going to be there raising the kid. And that's just full circle. And I thought it was a pretty good way to put a bow on it. But again, like you said, at 22 versus 32, it's a whole different world right there.
It sort of changes the theme of the series, too, because I think one thing that I thought about, which has nothing to do with Gilmore Girls, but The Wire talked about the whole point of that show was nothing's ever going to change, right? So, like, there was all these comparisons between, like, this old druggie that you see on the street corner. Well, there's a story arc with these young kids in high school, and then one of these kids is going to turn into that old guy. And here's this person, here's that person, and you see the sort of life repeating itself. But that was intentional with The Wire, and it was making, like, a statement of, like, that's how it works, and you're never going to get out of this cycle of whatever unless you do something about it. And Gilmore Girls seems to now be making the same statement of, like, okay, well, her mom had the rich guy, so Christopher is Logan, right?
Right.
And then there was a dude who came in that wasn't the dad but raised the kid, Luke, and then there's Jess.
Who,
you know, like, they made that.
Who is Luke's nephew for the people following along here?
Who's, yeah, exactly. He's like a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Rory, who now you can see the foreshadowing of, like, she's going to go work at that school that she went to, the private school, and basically just have the same life that her mom did, albeit with a better relationship with her mom. And that's okay, but it's just sort of a weird... I didn't ever see that being the point of the show. So it kind of threw me a little bit, but... the foreshadowing is all there, even if they don't do more episodes of, like, it seems to be like that's what the story they're trying to tell is, like, they're just going to be who they are, which is fine, and then she's going to raise the kid and in the same way that her mom did, except that she's, well, twice her age, I suppose.
In 20 years, when Sportive Boys is a podcast, and your son and Clarence's son are doing a podcast on the only dry land in the world,
he will not be a part of any of this.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Full circle, my friends.
No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's totally fine if that's the way it is. It just was sort of it just ended in, and even the way they shot it too, with, like, her mom looking shocked and it cutting to black, seemed to be for sure, like, cliffhanger, you know, like a quick cut. Like, it could have just been like, I'm pregnant, and then I don't know, a hug and a fade out,
a montage. You wanted a montage
in a different way, but the way. No, it could have just, well, maybe. I mean, you know, Poochie loves a montage, a well-placed montage. I'm all about him. But it just seemed like it was meant to be like, is there going to be another installment of these or something? I don't know. It was just a little, and even Danielle, both of our reactions were like, what? That was kind of our first thought. Rather than like, oh, yeah, I get it. That makes sense, and that's perfect. So, I don't know. But overall, I really enjoyed it. There's just the dialogue. I know I've talked about that before, but that scene that you had already mentioned with Lorelai calling her mom at the end.
Yeah.
And there was a scene in the first episode after the funeral when they had that fight in the kitchen. There's no, like, build-up to these unbelievably emotional, like, classic sort of scenes. Mm-hmm. They just sort of happen, which I think is obviously very true to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me like the show a lot is... There's a lot of it, like the Life and Death Brigade and all those other weird storylines that were kind of dumb and pointless. But you kind of stick around. I stuck around for some of those weird moments that were like, wow, that was a super crazy powerful scene out of the middle of nowhere. That's pretty cool. So I liked there was still a lot of those throughout the four episodes that I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I did not regret the 6 hours on Black Friday that I spent watching that with my wife and youngest daughter. I enjoyed it more often than not, and I would recommend it to others.
That's bonding. So you did it all in one day.
Did it all in one day. We had it all mapped out. That we were going to watch two episodes in the morning, take a break, get our Thanksgiving leftovers on, exercise, get the dog out, and then watch two episodes after that. So then we were emotionally drained after the fourth episode and just, you know, went to Target, walked around like zombies for a half hour and just kind of, you know, did our thing. So
yeah. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yep.
It was good.
Yep. It was good.
I recommend it.
Same here.
Although, anybody who is still listening, we just spoiled the whole thing, so whoops.
Yep, they'll get over it.
They're probably not still
listening. Don't worry.
People listening are the ones that have actually heard it. So.
Yeah.
John's still on Justified, so it's going to take you another 20 years to get through that, right?
Mm-hmm. That reboot's going
to
be awesome.
Years, they should manage to get through it.
Yeah, you'll like it. Okay,
I'm gonna be real disappointed if I don't finish before the reboot starts.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get on it. We are just about out of time. Should we get out of here? Should we go?
Good God, it's 11 yep. o'clock. Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah.
I gotta everything go. Sucks. Let's go. In summary, everything sucks and is bad except the Gilmore Girls and Devin Dubnyk and Carl Anthony Towns. That's it. Everything else fucking sucks.
Correct.
And that'll do for us. Love you. Goodbye.
Go, Luke.
Power out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.